Hey everybody, this is episode 8 of the Tour Punisher podcast, the big number 8 milestone. For this one, we had on the domestics. They were a lot of fun. There were a lot of them. Leo, Mike, Matt, and Kyle all came. Super fun music scene friends. There's a lot of swearing and gross stories in here, so use your discretion. Anyway, let's jump into the episode. Tour Punisher number 8 with the domestics.
Is this really the sponsor, Classic Lager?
Yeah.
Well, it's Gilgamesh Brewing.
Because I had an idea someone could be like, hey, do you want this beer? And I'm like, yeah, hold on. Wait a second.
What is this?
That's not a Gilgamesh. Get that fucking thing away from me. And then you'll hear another crack, and then it'll be like, oh, great, a Gilgamesh Classic Lager. I almost thought I was going to have to drink some shitty lager that wasn't Gilgamesh Classic Lager.
I think we just hired you as our marketing guy.
Michael Finn, who drinks ciders.
Yeah. Do you have anything sweeter?
The official beer.
Do you have anything sweeter?
Ryan, this is the most people we've ever had in this trailer.
This is going to get crazy. This is very tight and sweaty. There's like 50 people in here. Mm-hmm. And the other 47 are being very quiet. So thank you guys for being so fucking quiet. Really appreciate
your math,
it.
Your math is crazy because there's at least 6 people at this table.
That's right.
Yeah, there are 6 of us.
I don't know.
So 47 are not at the table, Ryan?
That's right.
Polyphonic spree.
47 plus 6 is certainly 50.
I was doing the metric system on counting people.
I usually like, at the top of the show, I usually like to put Ryan on the spot and make him introduce our guests.
Okay.
I mean, you could do that, but this is the most people we've ever had on the podcast, so I don't want you to have to fuck it up.
Let's do it around the table, barbershop, quartet style. Name. This is the domestics, and it's...
Leo.
Michael.
Matt.
And Kyle.
And Brad.
Brad is missing. Brad is currently missing.
He's here.
He's so pretty.
We talked outside a little about Brad. What's the story? I heard that he's just like beautiful.
He looks like he was carved out of the side of a mountain.
Mm. Like not Mount Rushmore, but like... like an underwear commercial?
A better looking mountain.
Mount Hung Boy.
He's like the older brother on Boy Meets World.
That's
Fran's
true.
Older brother. He looks just like him.
Okay. Oh.
Not even
Well, now I'm super disappointed that he's not here.
We just kind of hang in this trailer and invite bands to come talk to us about their touring experiences, you know, being a band stuck in a van. Have you guys been on tour recently? Are you in between right now?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Okay, yeah. Great. Did you say never? Never on tour. Never
done it. What would make you not want to? No, I'm just...
Yeah. Well, I think it's just hard to find enough beds to hide all the money in.
This is true. This is true. It's
highly lucrative.
Yeah. Yeah, it does suck to have so much money that you don't know what to do with it. I know. But yeah,
maybe give us a little bit of the rundown of when you formed, why, you know, how
can do that.
Why is it important? It's an important question for when you're putting art out in the world.
Oh, but I think he meant why because it,
why
you said why he was having it was funny. Why did you get into this line of work? It was for the money.
Well, let's be clear. Mark Maron speaking right now. It's Mark Maron. So, just so you can place a visual to who's talking.
Yeah.
No, that's Leo.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's a pre-AA Mark Maron over here. all right, my name's Leo, and me and Michael Finn started the band in 2014.
No. Earlier. It was
really?
Early.
Was it? I've lost so many years of my life.
It was probably 5 years ago, which is what's it right now?
I mean, unless I joined the band before it started. So, 2013, I believe.
Yeah, 2013 is probably...
Sorry, I was off by a year. Jesus.
Well... You scrub that from the record. That was a terrible.
Yeah, our fact checkers are really good. You guys are going to get a call from our fact checkers on this.
Whoop, 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 Snopes.
The non-record.
Mike was working at Flora, the recording, and I was doing some piano for him on some stuff, and then we ended up becoming good buddies and decided to put a band together sitting out on the porch. And, it turned out really well. You know, we're not that far in debt for a band.
We still have.
I mean, as a band, we're all bankrupt. The band's though.
No, seriously, though, for a second, does anyone like? I'm just super thirsty, and my throat is like starting to sort of dry up.
Have you tried one of these classic lagers yet? Or
well, does someone have a lager, but it's got to be Gilgamesh because anytime I try and drink, it has to be a Gilgamesh brand.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds cold and refreshing.
You know what? My ex-wife just called me. She wants me back. That's how fucking good that beer is.
Tastes like Gilgamesh.
Did you guys form because, you know, you felt like you were already in kind of like collaboration in the studio, so it was the kind of thing where it was like, naturally, we know how to make music together. Let's do something. Or did you all have kind of songs that you knew you wanted to put together as...
Thank you.
As this group.
Hold on.
Gilgamesh! That classic lager.
So, we had a lot of similar interests and stuff, but Mike was also a really great drummer, and I was better at piano at the time. Now I can't play at all, and he's much better at the piano now. But and for a time there, I was on top of the world. We used a lot of songs that I was gonna do on that solo record that we became friends doing, and turned them into a collaborative project. And I think we both had something to offer each other at the time, and fell deeply in love.
In the science world, there's the commensalism.
Oh yeah, I know that term.
We're talking about there's parasitism.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's the one where you take everything from someone else and then gain from it? It
sounds like my ex-wife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Dorothy.
So once I left the vapid husk, Mike's corpse.
No, I was gonna flip it around. No, but some.
Saying it's time to switch it up.
No. Someone said something funny to me. Actually, it was a terrible thing. There was a show. I think it was our Banana Stand show. I actually remember who's. I do remember who said this now. And
are we gonna call them out?
Yeah, I'm not gonna call them out. They out. But they came up afterwards. And what did they say? Oh, said something about. The quote was, "You knew what you were doing, working with that guy." Like the implication was that I had led
you
Leo
him.
Into this despair, pit of despair, to suck all the life out of him,
mm-hmm.
and to buy my own mansion with his talent.
But look at how
how's the mansion?
It's
why haven't you invited me over yet?
You look so much more powerful than you did before you did that to him. Like, look at you.
I'm full. I'm barely wearing pants, and I don't even give a darn.
Yeah.
I just bought new shoes.
Well, you know what kind of good condition I was before you met me, so.
That's true. I think we're all kind of each other's saviors.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
You should have seen, when we met Matt Moore, it was, I found him underneath the Fremont Bridge.
It was messy.
Jerking off punks for
pocket change.
$15 a man.
$15 a day.
Seven, that's the day rate.
Oh, I mean. You got your pump? cents on the dollar per pump.
It's like 8 hours. Are you trying to cap me at 8 hours?
Yes. You got to get the hand job union.
Yeah, he hadn't got the labor union.
I mean, I'm not getting paid per hour.
Yeah, you never want to calculate what you're actually getting paid per hour.
It's a commission kind of thing. It's not per
hour. Hey, I got you for 17 more minutes. Where are you going?
I'm almost ready again.
needless to say, this man was sticky and ill, yeah. Oh, you weren't working at Whole Foods.
Well,
oh, yeah.
I was working at the Oregon Zoo.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Can we just put a pin in that, or not put a pin in it? What I mean is, can you talk about that?
Working at the zoo, yeah. Let's go.
One of the first times I actually met Michael Foley was I was working a Huey Lewis in the news concert. For real, at the zoo. I was the catering cook there, and he called me by the wrong name. I don't remember what the name was.
Drew.
It was like, Drew. Like, I look like a fucking Drew.
I said, hey, Drew.
It's a blank stare. I was already working at the zoo.
What were you doing at the zoo?
Probably scooping out some sort of like coleslaw at that point.
Oh, so it was like a food. It wasn't like
animal. Yeah, I was a catering cook for the concert series they would do that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sorry. So this is something that I'm always interested in when we're talking about bands that have, you know, made quite an effort to play together and tour together and, you know, gig around. Like, how much of a conflict, like, what are some stories where you felt like super conflicted on, like, all right, I'm gonna have to bail on, like, either this, like, job thing or this relationship thing or this location thing in order to make this happen? Like, when, what are some times that come to mind? So of, like,
sounds like the trifecta right there.
Like every member of the band, all three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but, like,
specifically?
Yeah, like, when has that happened for you, like, personally?
Well, we got offered a national month-long tour with Blitzentrapper with, I think, like,
3 weeks.
15, 16 days notice.
Yeah.
And I tried to quit my job, but they almost didn't let me. They actually were nice enough to give me my job back.
Yeah.
When was this?
2015, probably. Fall.
So you did do that tour with Blitzentrapper?
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, well, so, and that was your zoo job?
Yeah.
By then. Oh. This is like 3 or 4 years later. I worked at Living Room Theaters, who can fuck right off.
Yeah. They do carry Gilgamesh, however, and which is their saving grace.
You can go to livingroomtheaters.com and type in the code Gilgamesh/Punisher for 10% off.
Yeah, 10% off only on Gilgamesh beer.
More at Living Room Theaters.
Enter promo code Gilga.
Gilga.
I quit my job to go on that tour also.
Yeah. I think.
Where were you working?
I was selling used cars.
Yes. So, where were you selling used cars?
I've sold used cars most places.
for real?
In Portland or in the world?
In Portland.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, was it like Ron Tonkin?
No, I was working for Hertz Corporation at the time.
Holy shit! That sounds hard.
We don't endorse corporations.
Yeah. No, it was terrible. So I was really excited to leave that, but actually, I got back, and they gave me the job back, but I didn't ask for it. They just said you can work here again. And
did they just see you, like, check in on Facebook at, like, some local Portland restaurant? Like,
no,
he's back. Let's get him. Get him.
He's in the subway on 120.
The people
seconds.
That work,
he was our top earner.
We have such a talented group of. This is a testament. All the other employers are begging for them back.
Yeah, it's an industrious group.
Are you good at selling cars?
I was. I don't do it that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
No, it's. I can't. I mean, like, I can imagine it being. I don't know. Because anyway, yeah.
I've always wanted to start a podcast interviewing used car salesman, to be honest. I think it would be so.
We're gonna change the format right
yeah,
now.
Right. Yeah. You guys get out. You're the star of the podcast.
You think selling it?
Oh, so I will say that I think at least three, if not four, of the members came back and all were broken up with by their girlfriends.
Ooh, whoa!
Shit.
How do you guys get along on tour? Is there tension? Is there fighting and shit?
As long as I get to drive the van, I'm fine.
Okay. What are the points of contention? other than that?
Well, that only that the van driver is the one who gets the couch.
Yeah. I made up that rule. No, I'm serious. I drive every day. I get a better couch.
That is a great rule.
It's a great rule.
I don't know where you fucking get off, man.
Well, I do.
I'm just getting on
the
couch.
I will turn this van around.
You will go back
to Portland.
I will turn this van around. The nice thing is that...
You have nothing waiting for you there.
That's true. Not anymore.
Thanks for coming. Forward.
You think selling a 2002 Ford Taurus is hard? Try selling 500 records no one wants.
Well, that's not hard. You just know what you know that it's going to be in nothing. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
Shove them in the back of that Taurus's trunk, man.
And set it on fire. Set it on fire and take the insurance money.
Yeah. No, you just always leave too many in your car so you don't have to pay the deductible when they get stolen when somebody thinks they're worth something.
We shouldn't joke about insurance fraud because we've been seriously considering it. And tipping that off
It turns out renter's insurance does not cover 2,000 copies of your debut album. They were somehow in the trunk.
Could we go around and each of you talk about another band member's like state of like being in the van? Like, what is their like go to? Like, this is the creature that I am in the van. Not like an animal, but like the like.
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go first, but I want Brad.
Do you want to describe?
You call dibs right now,
dibs, Brad.
Then go second.
I'll go second.
No, you go first.
I go first.
Yeah.
But you can't pick Brad because Mike's already got Brad.
All right, I'll pick Burp. Just kidding. That's his nickname. I'll pick Michael. Michael's very funny in the van. He's popular.
I'm not running for Mr. Homecoming.
Yeah, you know, hey.
No, he's really funny.
Great to see you next tour.
When he's not throwing up, he's really funny.
Most likely to succeed.
Most likely to shit his pants in the van.
Most likely to die in Atlanta.
That sounds like a good story.
I've definitely cried in the van more than anyone else.
Well, it's your daily driver.
I think you've also came in the van more than anybody else.
Okay, all right.
One time.
Hey, come on.
Okay, so we know that Mike's really popular in the van. Let's put a pin on Atlanta. Ray, remind us to come back to Atlanta. All right, who's second? Mike wants to talk about Brad's state of being in the van.
Brad always takes he gets in the back seat as much as possible. He loves the back seat.
Like the way back.
The way back.
Yeah,
well, that's written into our thing because he's not supposed to be close to me or even look at me.
That's true.
That's on your...
Uh-oh, hold on.
Driver's side.
I just got paged. Let me
back.
Turn this on. Yeah.
You can't make eye contact in the back.
No, it's like Johnny and Jerry.
You have to
Ramone.
Stare really, like really hard into the rearview mirror.
It's a declaration if you make eye contact in the
Brad
back.
Brad is the most prepared. Like, I've learned... Do you know, like, when you fly and you're next to someone and they have, like, they're, like, dressed in, like, a flying suit? Like, the thing that you're supposed to wear when you fly that wicks moisture. It's probably, like, a catheter in there, too. And then there's and a screen, the perfect...
Like a spaceman?
Yeah, just so prepared. And that's how Brad is. He has his gadgets. Like, he's got shows downloaded on the netbook.
Oh, motherfucker.
He's got the eye mask. The eye mask.
That's such a clutch move.
Neck pillow.
Yeah, he's got the neck pillow.
You got it dialed.
Yeah.
He's like Brad Bath and Beyond.
He's like a jet setter. Yeah, Brad. Exactly. Nice. Brad, that's good.
He's got Velcro for his phone to hang on.
Can we roll that back and make him
Ryan, just, you know, if you're listening live, Ryan's really proud of himself
for
that one right now.
He dropped the doozy. It was a good one. That was Marc Maron, by the way. If you couldn't place the voice.
He does actually like Velcro his phone to the ceiling.
His phone to the ceiling?
Yeah, like he's got... Whoa. It's crazy.
What? Yeah, Velcro on the ceiling? So you can like lay back in the van and watch porn in front of you?
Yeah. No, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't need porn.
His imagination.
He can
Brad referring to himself in third person.
He can masturbate with no hands or anything. He just like
he wills it. He wills it.
Hey, are you guys talking about me?
Sorry, dude.
Mickey Mouse.
Hey,
Mr. Bill.
All right, we can.
And then I just
I just got a visual of Mickey Mouse masturbating without his hands.
Well,
those gloves are hiding something. Big gloves.
Glove full of Vaseline. Oh, like God. From a...
You know what I'm talking about?
Disney.
What?
If we do Disney,
I know what you're talking about.
No one talks about the glove full of Vaseline from Of Mice and Men. You know about that?
The
that,
book?
That book, yeah.
I don't remember
Mickey
that.
Mickey Mouse.
One of the...
Is that when he...
No,
the... comic the, ending, if I recall.
Yeah, that book where you just can't stop laughing at the end. Real knee slapper.
Yeah. Right up there was Sling Blade. Oh, yeah, exactly. Into that motherfucker.
And the Giver.
Yeah, that mouse. That mouse, though. Mouse had to ruin it for everyone.
The Giver.
The Giver. Oh, yeah. This is a fun story. We this is fun. We when we were touring with Blitz and Trapper, we would play their music in the car all the time, which is so much fun. And
wait. Like, you guys would, were you in your own vehicle and yeah. Blitz and Trapper was their other one?
Okay. Yeah.
So you guys were just like, we gotta know what they sound like?
No, I just like their band. Shit. So I yeah. put it on. Good. But
really? No, I'm just kidding.
As
very
what happens,
rare. Sometimes you get to play with bands you actually like.
As it goes in the van, we all got really tired, and at one point, I took a lot of amusement in singing the chorus to Fur. As Eddie Vedder would, like, really heavy.
Let's hear it.
Well, basically, the real joke lied in late in the line, you know, you better be sure if you're making God a liar, that line in that chorus. It would go, and you better be sure if you're making Girdler. And so, making Girdler. But the problem is that when we got called up on stage for the last three shows to sing with them, and it's just so hard when you every day for a month you've been making Girdler, and you know I just stayed off mic so I could do it loudly and proudly. The Motor Hack Kyle pretty much just grabbed Early's vocal out from in front of him and dove out into the crowd. It
wasn't proud.
Not a proud moment. Anyway, so making
Wait,
Girdler.
Did that really happen?
No, well, kind of.
Basically, it was bad.
I was too busy trying to remember the words.
That's why no one. That's why we haven't gotten an email back in 2 years.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why.
The year
yeah,
of that's Girdler. Definitely why.
Girdler.
All right, you guys, van life, which hashtag van life.
This is where you guys do each picking? Other, or you roast me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him the business.
You want to take on Daddy London?
Oh man, can we put a pin in Daddy
Leo.
London right now? Put a
Leo's
pin in
easy.
Daddy London as well, right?
Leo's easy because he's driving all the time, so he's busy, mm-hmm. really busy.
But like, what's his driving style? Is it cool, calm, collected, or is he like, one cut off from like road rage?
He can get that way.
I could tell. He seems fucking cool.
Because Leo, we just met, and I can just tell like you could go like that.
Yeah.
I do have a famous turn, the London left.
The London left is a good one.
Whenever we're in L.A. and I'm like, oh, I'm going the wrong way, everybody.
The London left for just for...
That's the U-turn?
So everyone knows, it's any corrective illegal turn. So any unintended turn that is not legal is a London left.
Even if it's right, it's left.
Even if it's right, it's rarely left. You're on the highway. You know?
Yeah. You could be going the wrong way down in one way. It's still a London left.
The whole act itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the wrong way is even though it's not a turn.
Do you guys feel safe when he's behind the wheel?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we let him drive the whole month long tour.
He said, yes, you do.
Yes, it does.
Leo, as somebody who on road trips insists on driving a bunch, because that's me too. I'm like, I get fucking so bored if I'm sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah, no one else does.
Exactly. People love it when I drive. Why do you want to drive so bad? Like, what's the deal?
It's neurotic, like...
You want to be in
trauma from an accident kind of thing. I'm trouble looking at people drive, so I just drive.
Yep, yeah, that's fair.
Plus, it's kind of I paid for the van. Just mm-hmm. kind of felt like Vanessa belonged to me.
Oh, you guys have a name for the van?
Well, mm-hmm. it started out as Van Marino, and then we found out she was a girl.
Which is fine nowadays.
It's good to look to make sure.
All right, so we got Leo. We're one away from our van round robin.
Well, I already did one. It's one of you guys. It's Matt.
Yeah, I did it.
I have to do Kyle.
Yeah, you have to do Kyle.
And wait, I did Michael. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, I could do myself because Brad's not here.
That's so true.
I'll do Kyle.
That's usually what I do when Brad's not around,
I'm great in the van. I bother no one, and I'm great.
We could do, one of you guys could speak again.
No,
I also think we gave Mike short shrift. I mean, you can't just be popular van dude. There's got to be more. There's more to life.
He jacks off and cries in the van. That's not very complicated.
We didn't say he was jacking off.
Himself.
We should.
You don't want your parents to know you're sexually active at 20 fucking 8.
Sorry, Mrs. Finn.
Were you guys... And you guys raised religious?
He was.
I was.
Remember when like booger and heck was a swear?
Oh.
Booger, 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 heck.
Booger, 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 heck.
Mercedes Benz of Wilsonville. It's time to drive the car that you've always really dreamed of. Gilgamesh.
I mean, truly, we saved the two most boring van personalities for last.
Sure.
Me and Kyle.
What are your guys' van personalities? If you could describe yourselves as a duo, a van duo.
Yeah, I sleep a lot and listen to a lot of music, and usually...
That goes for both of you guys.
I'm usually pissed about something that happened like 4 days ago still.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Just like stewing in the back. But still mostly not.
When do you let that kind of shit out on tour?
I think he just holds it close to his heart.
It was a long 30 days.
Are you Irish?
I am Irish and right. Catholic. Yeah. Formerly, of course. Yeah.
Sorry. I usually let it out in North Carolina. Let's go to Atlanta.
Okay.
Let's do Atlanta. Let's do Atlanta.
You guys.
All right. Michael's mom, turn off the radio.
Okay. I peed myself in North Carolina. I wet my pants.
I threw my wallet
into the road. I threw a lighter into the road.
You lit a cigarette in the green room.
I lit a cigarette in the green room. Big whoop.
You thought it was really
nothing
funny.
Bing Cosby hasn't done once or twice.
We walked into the venue. First rule is if you light a cigarette in this green room, it's a $2,500 fine.
Well, if they wouldn't have put the idea in my head,
we wouldn't have a problem.
So whoever the promoter, so the person booked that show found me after I had punched. I was having a hard night. We don't need to talk about why. I was having a really hard night, and he walked into the
black guy.
He walked into the bathroom, and I was punching one of those. Gosh darn.
Towel dispensers?
Yeah. I punched the towel dispenser a bunch of things.
It's funny how they fucking just are sitting there.
You know
why?
You know why? Yeah. Because they're reflective and they're a mirror.
Yeah.
So I see my own, you
that
know,
just
sad,
got dark.
You know, I see my own shell of a bean in the thing, and I just start wailing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, my, you know, blood flying from the
so
knuckles.
Wet.
Wet with blood on the
At least you had something to then wipe your bloody hands off with.
I was punching this thing. I was really angry. I was really upset. I was really upset. I was punching it, and then all of a sudden, so this guy comes in. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" And then he's like, "You just played, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "I booked this show," and I'm like, "I'm sorry, I like had way too much to drink." And he's like, "Well, let me get you another."
What?
And the guy went up to
you're
the bar.
One away from paradise,
no,
my
no.
friend.
The guy went up to the bar, and then. And he's like, he takes me, like, we cut in front of the line, and, like, the bartender, like, immediately goes up and asks him what he needs, and he's like, I said to him, I was like, I don't feel very good. It's the last thing. And then he's like, get this guy a double. He's like, where are you drinking? Get him a double. He's trying to get him, like, are you Jeffrey Dahmer? What are you? Cut me
I'm
up.
I'm going to eat
What in the world? So the guy just, and then he got me a double, which, of course, I drank as fast as I could. But like, what a weird guy! And this is—I don't know why he would do that if I was in that situation. But
I think he did the right thing because if you get mad at somebody who's punching something, you're going to be the next one thing to get
the
punched.
Next closest punchable.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, well, watch. Yeah, I think he did the right thing.
And then, as I walked away from him, he whispered to me. He said, "Light a cigarette in the green room."
Yeah.
I won't care.
So you did that.
He didn't say that. Yeah. I did that at one point, and I don't fully recall that part, but I do remember someone, I couldn't say who, smacked it out of my hand and it hit my face a little bit. And that's when I went outside and peed myself and threw.
Went outside to
but
pee
you
yourself.
But you went outside, though. That's
well, yeah, I'm not a dog.
I'm not a
pathetic, out of control, sad animal or anything like that. I have some self-respect.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was fine.
Yeah.
That was.
It was fine.
So who does anybody default when you're having nights like North Carolina? Is there a bandmate that defaults to, as the like caregiver? Like, I'm gonna figure this shit out and like make sure that this person changes their pants later before they get into the van, that kind of thing.
Well, that's kind of the problem, is that
I guess anyone ever went to Michael.
That was the thing. We were all. It was like the Iliad. It was like we were all lost. We were all. We had no idea what to do because Odysseus
has pissed his pants.
Pissed himself.
Opisius.
Opisius made a boo boo.
God of wine. All right.
No, but that night Kyle did. Someone. I can't say who. But someone yelled to Kyle, just a stranger yelled, "You fucking take care of him." I believe. Or wait, no, maybe Kyle yelled at some stranger and said, "Hey, you take care of him.
Will you take this guy away?"
It's hard to say. I can't really say who, but yeah, needless
to
say.
No, we put you to bed in the back and we said we loved you. And
I took. Well, the only unfortunate part is that as Blitz and Trapper was loading out all their gear, I was being led across the parking lot with urine on my pants and unable to walk. My legs had kind of given out. And I was sort of being like ushered like a paraplegic through a battlefield over to the van. And then they all looked and just were like, oh, wow.
You didn't have a good night.
It was just, oof, not good.
Then he bowled a perfect 300.
Oh, bowled. I mean, he said pulled. Yeah.
Oh, no, he bowled.
No, the scariest part of that night was then driving everyone to the hotel.
But, you know, we didn't know what to do without the leader. So, you know, that's you know, we just got really lucky.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're here.
Yeah. We've all had nights like that, though.
Yeah.
It's true. Kyle in L.A.
Yep.
Is that?
I've actually.
Tell it.
Yeah, let's hear the story.
All right, Atlanta. It was hot.
It was hot.
We were playing a show right.
You Werner Herzog?
I was going to David Copperfield that shit a bit, you know?
I was ready for it. There was a nice break of talk in the room. I was with you. You had me captivated.
All right. And so it was.
And then
David Copperfield instead of David Attenborough.
David Copperfield.
He's like, it was hot. And then your corner disappeared. And now it's a rabbit's ass.
No, it's worse. I was trying to think of Oliver Twist.
Oh yeah, David Copperfield, of course. Can I have some more?
Was that Brad chiming in?
Yeah.
For the first time all podcast.
Ma. Yeah, classic Copperfield.
All right.
Okay.
Atlanta.
We get into Georgia, and Kyle wakes up from the back, and he's like, football. We go back to bed. We see the giant ass peach.
We're getting
into Atlanta and doing the sound check. The sound guy is watching hockey the whole time. Just the worst crew ever met. And this is after, like, playing really cool shows. Like, we played the Bowery Ballroom, and it was amazing. And so we were, like, riding high, like, oh, yeah, we're doing great. And then we, like, get to Atlanta, and it's just, like, we played our first song. No one clapped.
Whoa.
The room's sold out. Silence. Sold out room. No one clapped.
Damn.
So I walked up to the mic, and I was like, should we stop?
Still
silence.
No way, really?
Yeah, so I was like, all right. So Jesus. I was like, I guess this is a rehearsal. And so we play the set, and the audience loved Blitz and Trapper. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not that. It's not like a totally poorly booked thing. I mean,
no,
like,
guys,
we did great with them the whole show, tour, you know?
I had a different memory. I don't know. I thought Blitz and Trapper was bummed as well. I don't know. Maybe it was one of those things.
I think any clapping would have sounded like a round of applause.
Yeah.
on the way.
But I was out in the audience. I was in the audience during the set, during Blitz and Trapper's set, and they sounded great.
No wonder it sucked. Michael wasn't even on stage.
No one was clapping. No. But during Blitz, and the mix was great. They sounded great. But the crowd was like, they would get done, and people were like, it was just such an odd thing. It was like a, I don't know, It was like, yeah, it was strange. But also, Blitz and Trapper, they were saying like, oh, the crowd was so quiet. And I think too, it was one of those places where sometimes the stage feels so dead.
Yeah,
you can't like feel the crowd as much, you know.
Yeah,
like, I mean, they also were not clapping. I'm not saying like, oh, it was an eruptuous applause, but we just couldn't hear it. Like,
no, they.
People were just like staring at us and mindlessly, and Nate said that our mix was good too. So I don't know.
It wasn't like a loud room. Like they were talking amongst themselves. No. They just were listening.
They were just silently judging.
I don't know. Wow. I mean, maybe the shirt I had on that said "I fucking hate Atlanta" was not the best choice, but I don't really think that would justify you know, their response.
So then we were staying with this guy. Can I go into this?
Oh God,
my.
This fucking guy.
He might be. Is he a fan?
I doubt it. I don't care. He's an asshole.
We'll burn this bridge.
Go,
fine.
Go. Get into it. Do it.
So this fucking guy.
You can blame us.
Like, we get back to the place. It's like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it is. And he's saved all the football games that were on while we were gone so we could all stay up and watch football together. 3 a.m.
Dude, that's what about this guy sucks? This guy sounds like the best.
No, we'll get there. And so, I mean, everyone wants to go to bed. Nobody's, you know, oddly enough, the domestics aren't like the biggest football. Like, fuck yeah, let's
football.
Football. Fucking football. So, I'll tell you what. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think I've watched a football game since Marcus Allen was playing, so I'm just put it into perspective there. And then again, the room, you know, goes
silent. Pre-Brett Favre dick pic.
Wait, Brett Favre, what?
Oh. Well.
So, you know, we're all trying to go to bed, and he keeps singing, who does that song? My, you know, the
I think just
Bon Iver.
Him.
Bon Iver. No, yeah. No, he's singing Bon Iver, trying to, and his dog's like, he's like, look, he can sing too. Look at this. My. And
we're trying to
right?
sleep.
Yeah. Right? And I'm like, you know, and then he's like, oh, man, you know, he's got a pregnant girlfriend. And he's like, you know, I found out that, you know, she's going to have a girl. And I was like, my life's over.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Your poor girlfriend, you fucking asshole.
She was there.
I know. She was sitting there listening to Bad Mouth.
Well,
oh, man.
Also, earlier like, in the night when I first met him at the venue. Yeah, when I first met him at the venue, he's like, yeah, I got a pregnant wife back at home. Not my idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Accidentally slipped his dick.
So it was funny because, you know, there's such thing as Southern hospitality, but that was not it.
That was not. So how'd you guys meet this guy?
Yeah, that was going to be my fault.
I put up a Craigslist ad. I was like, does anyone have a fucking singing dog?
and a pregnant wife, please.
Like, and football fan preferred.
Yeah. If you bonus points for a pregnant wife who you hate.
Yes, and could you and just TiVo all of the games.
For a month.
Listen, yeah. We're going to be
all of them for a month. Will be.
We
yours.
Haven't been able to watch an entire game of football while 7 other are playing, and it feels like a month. So if anyone could arrange that with a yipping dog,
I'm imagining
our publics.
And then he played us. They played. Then in the morning, he played us all his recordings
of his stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yo. Okay, so here's the thing. This is it. I mean, like, this is the thesis of the episode. You guys just got punished like a motherfucker in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, that is literally the Punisher.
Yeah.
Man, that guy sucks. There isn't a redeeming thing about him, except that he puts you up.
But I just, you know, and I think enough time has passed that maybe he's not as much of an asshole. So if you're listening, sorry, but you were a total douche back then.
And the heat was on.
Wait,
it was
sounds,
like,
do you know him still?
No. I don't know.
I thought maybe you were like, on. I've been following him on Instagram. He's got really nice pictures of his daughter.
Yeah, he's like, actually, I was wrong. She's pretty tight.
What was the other one that we put a pin on? Did we talk
his name
about LA?
We don't need to talk about LA.
LA. Let's talk about L.A.
We don't need to talk about that. Do you remember...
We can talk about our sound guy in L.A.
Boone?
Or was that San Francisco?
Was that Boone?
That was L.A.
That was
I don't remember. They all
that
blur together.
That was that same night. Yeah.
Well,
that was a really fun night. That was the night we did the
we all had
Central
lots of
thing.
Yeah, we were we were in a pilot. We were in a pilot. So, well, here's yeah. Well, it started... My night started in the context of that evening in L.A., It was our night off, and we went to get Mexican food. And
this was a different tour entirely. This was
different
right,
tour.
This was like
early on,
my
Kyle's
maybe
first, tour.
First couple shows with the band. Too.
And Brian Wolin, who's now our sound person, was not with us at the time. Boone Howard of Boone Howard Infamy.
R.I.P.
Well, I guess we don't know when this will air. All right, he could cut be that. Dead. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've never worked with anyone like him, Boone Howard. but he,
on the last tour we were on, somebody, some German guy, was like, "You are the most energetic sound man I've ever seen."
Intense.
That is a direct quote.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
He oh, yeah, loved and Gilgamesh.
Yeah. He drank it as if it was water. But he never drank water. I don't know where that
is. He's a samurai.
Yeah, what? I love accents.
Oh, the German samurai sound guy.
German samurai sound guy.
So we stopped to get some Mexican food, and my back was really hurting. And for some reason, I think in my entire life, I've taken one Vicodin pill total, mm-hmm. like over oh. spread. But I had. It was that night. I had one somehow.
So it was 30 days of LA.
Okay.
For Red Bull.
What so is was, that? What is that?
It's like you, Red Bull. It's like some kind of festival. Used to do something? All those shows. So Bim was down there.
Yeah.
We'd been hanging out with him all day.
And the banana stand of yeah. Andy
and the banana stand guys.
And the banana stand crew.
So yeah. There was a show we were planning on going to. I think it was Radiation City.
Yeah, at No Vacancy, which was amazing. It was probably the best show I've ever seen. But I was not of sound mind, so I could have been influenced. It was a great show.
Yeah.
But we were hanging out all day, and my back was hurting. And on that tour, I was not drinking at all. And so I'm like, I'm going to take this Vicodin that I had. I think I had it because a friend of mine, who shall not be named, had gotten their wisdom teeth taken out. So I somehow just had one because my back had been bothering me. Anyway, so I took it with whatever we ate for dinner. And then, I was like, oh, great, I'll have that and it'll help my back feel better and I won't have anything to drink because I'm not drinking on this trip. But then we were all walking down Sunset Boulevard and this woman came, like, just out of a building, just like, came out with a clipboard and she's like, "Do you guys like free drinks?" And Boone, before anyone could had even a second to respond or even think, was like, "Yes, you know what? Yes," and not even "What's the catch?" But just "Yes," and then like started walking to her, like at her,
with a boner.
I can't attest booner. To that or a booner. Not a booner. No, no, but
I was
they
the
were
only
shooting
sober
him.
Person at this point, so
this is true. Well, no, I was sober at this point.
Walking into the bar.
Oh, so, boy. But then Boone proceeded to, so it was an open bar, and then the guy who was running the production was like, "So basically everyone just," there was probably 50 people there, "just like act normal, like just be at a party, and we're going to shoot this pilot for a comedy." It's that woman now, Chelsea Handler. It was
oh,
her first
really?
Pilot.
Wow.
And so we just got like called into this thing. And he said, "Just act normal." So Boone proceeds to loudly be like, "Next round's on me." And he's like pointing and he's like, get this guy a tequila, get this guy a vodka soda. Loud. And then you can tell they're done. They're done with him so fast.
The bartender, who was, I assume, an actor and also a bartender, just kept staring at him and was like,
"So
I have to do this." Yeah. And he just kept doing it.
Pouring everyone drinks. And finally, I think Boone ended the entire shoot because the bar ran out of booze. But
they actually did run out of booze.
They ran out.
That's why it ended.
They were anticipating. They were like, "We didn't know some guy from Alaska was going to come here."
Well, I must have had 9 vodka sodas.
Oh, well, and that's the thing.
In 2 hours.
The first 3 got passed towards me, and I was like, nah. And then after a certain amount of time, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's, you know, what kind of strong liver or kidney, whatever. Whatever's the organ that does all that stuff, that does all that hard work?
It's the brain.
But
certainly not the brain.
I think I had 2 or 3.
It's the prostate. Those,
and my goodness, the orgy, the confluence of Vicodin and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
it was I punched a poplar tree as hard as I could. We all got kicked out. We got kicked out of the thing, and then I went
out. He's a hitter.
Street.
Well, so I was then, just going to say that. This is, I've seen established.
Let me just say this.
Buddy Rich over here.
How many fights do you think I've been in my entire life?
3.
None. Never. I've never been in a fight. It terrifies me. One time, this kid in high school, Matt Hill, you bully, he threw a white potato, a russet potato. This guy was a pitcher and a state champion wrestler. He threw a russet potato just at, like, we were in foods class, and he was just like, huh, huh, huh. And then, like,
oh, food class.
Tomorrow, what's this? Yeah,
what's this?
This is a potato.
Foods class. Fruit?
You can throw it or eat it.
What's this, a pencil? Is it food?
Yes or no?
No. You can't blame Matt
Pop
Hill.
Pop quiz hot shot.
No, Matt Hill was an asshole.
Pop quiz hot shot. Is this stone fruit?
Or a rock?
Do you love to cook but lack the basic comprehension of what is food? Enroll in foods class. Unlike snobby culinary institutes that just assume that you know what is food, foods class will start you with the fundamentals of what is or isn't food. An apple, bread, taco beef, light bulb, hair, long chicken, burger fingers. Do you really know which one of these things is food? Leg sleeves, a fig dropper, sink juice, corn, sand, human body? Enroll today and we'll explain these examples and more. Go to foodsclass.com/punisher to find out if a chair is food or not for free. Foods class. Enroll today to start your exciting career knowing what is food or not.
So you punched a
poplar tree.
You punched a poplar tree.
But anyway, that wasn't even the fun part. The fun part is that Kyle puked.
Oh my
god.
A lot.
So much. And well, you know what?
Because of
last,
the thing.
Last time we were in LA, where he puked is now a condo.
That is true.
So, I thought you were going to say that's what they put down as Hollywood Star.
They call that fertile ground.
This is kind of funny. I puked a lot that night.
Gentrified his puke.
Yeah, he's
into a condo.
But you puked from TV booze.
I'm quietly getting, well, not really quietly. We were getting very drunk at that Comedy Central thing. And then I walked into another bar.
No vacancy.
No. There was
another one. Oh, before that.
Where he was pumped.
Where he was punching poplar trees.
Yeah, we all
and
got.
I was
we got kicked out. Yeah, that guy got really pissed off, I remember.
Yeah. Inside the bar, which isn't allowed there or anywhere, really.
You guys have a thing
see,
about
we were all born
inside.
We were all born
rebels,
you know.
Rebels.
We were very old.
I was born in 1971.
We left and we're cruising down and we go to this show at No Vacancy, which is a crazy venue already. I mean, just walking up into that.
Have you all ever been to that spot in L.A., No Vacancy?
I've never.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, that's maybe for later. I'll let you finish your story. There's a great story about entering that place. It's pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. But because of that, I didn't know how to get out of the venue. And so I was sitting in the kitchen for a solid 25, 30 minutes.
Of the venue?
I was in the kitchen. I had no idea how to get out of there. And
well, I was stone sober, and I couldn't get out of that fucking place. I finally had to go to the bartender.
Confusing.
I was like, how the hell do I get out of this fucking place?
It has to be a fire hazard, because it's really crazy how the place is laid out. But when you walk into the venue, you go up these stairs, and then all of a sudden, you're just in a hallway, and then there's like a bunch of doors, and most of the – you just feel like you're in someone's home, and you open up the doors, and they don't go anywhere. And then in the last door on the left, you open it up, and there is a naked – or well, a almost naked woman laying on a bed. Mm-hmm. In the corner, in a room that's just like a small, tiny, you know, no bigger than this trailer.
It looks like a brothel,
like a
flapper girl almost. Like it's old. Everything's old.
Yep,
style,
everything's old fashioned.
She was 90 years old.
Again, I opened the door and I was at the flapper. Is that what it means?
No, from the 20s.
No.
He's saying,
"Jeez,
don't make me explain the joke."
Well, no,
to be from the 20s.
Yeah, he's the one who said she was 90. Well, I didn't know if there was some connection with the flapping, and I don't know.
No.
What is that? Come on, we're all human here. We're all human. We're just fine nowadays.
I'm going to be flappy too.
And Michael, he was hungry.
I was alarmed. I opened the door and I was scared. I remember Brad being exceptionally scared.
What the fuck?
But then again,
oh man,
I was so terrified. I've never seen a nipple.
Boone sprinted inside.
Boone jumped in. He went. That was the MO of the night. But then, so let's just before we. Boone also went missing, and in the morning, then I had to call every hospital, police station, and jail, and called anything I could. Like, where would you find a Boone body or party in the back?
His phone ran out of minutes, so we thought he was dead.
Yeah, and so everyone was trying to call him.
Trying to leave him.
No, everyone was trying to call him. Leah wanted to leave
him. I didn't know him at the time. I was like, okay, this clown.
But I was trying to call. Everyone was trying to call him, and then finally, he texted me and was like, "What time are we leaving?" And his phone had got out. Now he could text fine. His phone had been on for like multiple hours, so he didn't think anything was wrong. But we just kept trying to call him instead of texting him. If I would have woken up and texted him saying, "Where the hell are you? Everyone's worried," he would have been like, "Oh, I'm at this party. It's all fine." But I just immediately tried to call him because everyone's like, "Have you seen Boone? He didn't wake up in our room. He fell asleep in our room and he didn't wake up there." But yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
LA Times.
Well, I was waiting. So I was waiting outside the venue in the van because I had put a bunch of gear on a credit card and none of it was insured. So I just stayed with the van while they went to the no vacancy. I was like, I don't feel very comfortable. What? Yeah. And I was parked. I found a good spot right in front of like an unce club.
Nice.
So I just sat there and listened to people talk and kind of looked off into the distance. And there was a guy, it started to rain, and a guy literally said, he was like, "This is L.A. It's not supposed to rain."
It was on like wow. Right in the middle of the Sunset Strip, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great.
Wow. Yeah, I was like, I also, yeah. But when you refer to the town that everybody else is also in,
yeah.
at the same time, I thought it was impressive.
This
like
is
he
LA.
Was maybe practicing in, for a part.
That's like a classic David. That's a classic Leo David Copperfield moment, really.
Leo and I were just getting to know each other, and I kind of just stumbled into the van.
Oh, I was like, you're going to throw up in here. You're going to get out of the van.
I don't know. But.
And then Boone, and then someone called me. I don't really remember. It was fun.
It was a very fun night.
Well, we had to smuggle drunk Boone and really drunk Kyle into the Ace Hotel because it was only supposed to be two people staying there, and we had like six.
Seven,
in there.
Yeah.
Just thought maybe we'd give you guys an opportunity to like, you know, plug anything or. Is there anything coming up that you're super stoked for, or what's next for you guys?
You know,
can I plug the tour I'm doing?
Yes, plug that.
All right, I'm going.
Put it up. This is Mark Maron.
Hello. This is Leo of the Domestics.
It's the only time you've done the whole time.
That's Leo London.
For those of you that just woke up in the last 2 minutes of our podcast.
Leo, Great
like
Britain.
Me.
It's
nice to meet you guys. It's been a really good show. As far as I can tell, I just woke up from my nap. So I'm going on tour with Haley Johnson and through July. And we putting out an EP and... she sang on some of the songs, and
cool.
It's going to be real good and real fun.
Cool.
One more story about old age. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know the thing, but I used to, when I would drive out to old age rehearsal on the LC Highway, going out like to Mary's Peak, I would always ride out with Dustin, and Matt often would be like, we'd be going on that road with Matt. And Dustin would be driving along or going fishing or something. And whenever they... Oops, that's fine. You don't need that. Whenever they would see a cyclist... I don't even know what this meant. But Matt would just yell out the window. He'd yell, "Taxes!"
Why?
He would just yell it. And I just laughed so hard.
You should tell the story about the time you all got arrested.
Oh, my God. I don't know if we have time for that. That was absurd, though. Officer Gorski... In Philomath. Here's the thing. Let me just
fuck
say
you, Officer Gorski.
All I'm saying is, like, if you're a cop in Philomath, like, the most exciting thing you has ever done, you is
you've is ever done.
The most exciting thing you've ever done is arrest old age.
Well, when you learn your grammar in foods class.
In foods. He had us all out on the side of the road. No, so he was looking for pot. And he took all the gear. Granted, if anyone's ever seen old age's van, it looks like a recycling plant, like the bottom of the floor. It's like a bounce house of Rainier cans, and like so we open the sliding door and they just like pour it out, and then immediately Dustin says recycling. That's the first thing he says to the cop is recycling, and then he rolls down the window this much, and the first thing he says is. Second thing he says is, "I don't consent to any searches," which is an amazing way to lead off a traffic
mission
stop.
Of guilt for
when,
sure.
When the beer is, when the probable cause has just spewed out the door.
No, so this guy wanted, no, this guy said, and if anyone knows old age's vehicle, the old van that,
the gold Astro?
No, before that, the oldest, the Waldotch, his old van. It was like, you know how like when the cars are running off of biodiesel and it smells like French fries? Mm-hmm. A 2 mile radius of that vehicle smelled like pot. And I don't know how. I think that I don't actually know how, because no one really smoked that much, but I think at one point probably Johnny Flannery like drove it into an ocean of
weed,
of like bong water or something, and like came out somehow. I don't really know, but it smelled always like weed. So that was
maybe got sprayed by a skunk.
It was bad. But yeah. Anyway, we got pulled over, and he had us all on the side of the... We had to leave the car. It was freezing. It was raining. He called this other officer out from town. I forgot the other guy's name.
Down here.
Yeah, he got some... He brought the drug dog out, and the drug dog was sniffing the car. We were outside of the car for about an hour and a half, and finally, and at one point, Gorski comes out, and of course, Dustin just had an unsheathed machete just like under the under the seat, and then he comes out and he was like what was this doing under there, concealed? he's like, what were you doing with this concealed? He holds up this huge machete, and Dustin, this is one of the greatest Dustin Daniels moments ever, he says, whatever you want it to be, Farva. But I kid you not, they finally found like a little roach that had been left in a plastic bag that was days old, you know, and it was underneath Adam, the other drummer at the time, because I was playing guitar at this time. Anyway, they found a little roach under his seat. He got an $850 possession charge. Dustin got an $850 possession charge for being the driver, and I didn't get a charge because I wasn't sitting as close to the little baggie as the rest of them, and because my dad was building Officer Gorski's house.
Whoa.
So,
foods class.
You call that nepotism? Or like,
I think it's called privilege.
Privilege.
A tight community there in Philomath.
Oh, yeah. Tighter than a frog's ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Underwater.
You goddamn right. Can you eat that? Is it this frog? Can you eat it?
Can you eat it? Is it donkey dick?
All right, everybody, that is our show. Tour Punisher is produced by Ryan Soley, Noah Dunham, and me. I'm Ray Rude. Original music, edits, and super funny commercial parodies all done by me. Special thanks to all the dudes from The Domestics. You can find out more about their band by using Google. But they are The Domestics Music on Facebook and just Domestics on Bandcamp. All right, if you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. You can get a hold of us at tourpunisher@gmail.com. We are Tour Punisher on Facebook and Instagram if you want to say hey, or if your band wants to be on the show or whatever. So reach out to us. All right, thanks for listening.